This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This one should be interesting because I think I'm well aware. I think the people are probably well aware that Jason and I have much different vocal musical tastes. But it's our six pack of favorite vocalists and Beltway Ben. Let's get started.
Number six.
Number six is one of those. What's the word I'm looking for? It's REO Speedwagon, which, Bone, you probably don't know who that is.
But
they are sort of like one of those, what's the term of something that you're not supposed to like, but you like?
So Kevin Kiernan or whatever.
Kevin Cronin. So the lead singer, I love, even to this day, if an REO Speedwagon song comes on the air, I'm jamming out to it. This guy's got a cool voice. Bone singing along.
Well, this is in like some ad now, isn't it? Like, I feel like this is in a commercial. I feel like I hear this all the time.
Maybe.
I think it's in a commercial that's like played every 5 minutes now.
But from I Can't Fight This Feeling, Take It on the Run, Dreams, they had banger after banger in the 80s, at least for me. I know Jason probably hated it all. But
it's fine pop music.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I liked REO.
He has a distinctive voice.
A very distinctive voice. I put him at six.
As I thought about this list, it wasn't for me necessarily like all people I listen to all the time, but just people whose voices resonate with me and sort of connote things musical and beyond music. And so much of the music that I love, I don't think the vocal stylings, I don't think the range, I don't think sort of the screaming, some of the theatrics, I don't think any of that is possible without Little Richard changing the face of American pop music.
Good golly, Miss Molly, sure like the ball. Good golly, Miss Molly, sure like the ball.
I like Little Richard.
Probably been as ripped off as anybody. Obviously, what he's singing about there is, I think, kind of what early rock and roll was sort of all about.
Yep.
The dance that is done late at night or in the back of cars or what have you. But I just feel like Little Richard is a seminal voice in American pop culture and pop music. And I think he changed the way early on that people kind of could use their voice as an instrument.
Number five.
Similarly, this person's voice, she was such a singer-songwriter. She had such humble beginnings. I feel like that all comes across when she sings. And I tend to gravitate more towards people who write their own music because I think it just brings out something different in their story, in their voice. It's a story only they can tell. A lot of Dolly Parton's music is autobiographical. autobiographical in nature. And I think she has a timeless voice. She tells timeless stories that will go on till the end of time.
Of the way, and I will always love you. I will always love you.
Now, a lot of people put Whitney Houston in their
well,
list.
Well, she's on my list.
A lot of people would put, and her version of that song, very was, different. That's yeah, obviously Dolly's
yeah,
song.
Yes.
But I wanted to have sort of a sense of Americana yeah, and some old school country Western. I like to pull
country
from different
Western
genres.
Yes.
So that's straight from the Appalachian Mountains. There.
Yeah. No, I like what you did, but yours is like, these are people that are very important to the history of music, where as I solely went with.
But I also
my
love
favorite,
their voices. I think they created a landscape that other people yeah, were able to capitalize from.
I grew up on the Police. Loved the Police and had like a cool reggae sound. And then Sting went solo and he was awesome as a solo artist as well. Sting is my five. Very distinct voice as well. Like you, when you hear Sting, you immediately know it's him.
I love the Police. Yeah. I love Sting.
Yeah, like he's awesome, and I'm hoping to see him this summer. He's touring with somebody else on my list. That'll come up in a minute.
Number four.
This is not just to troll Jason, but I think he knows this. I sincerely love Billy Joel. I grew up on Billy Joel. I love him probably as much as Jason hates him. But Billy Joel's my four.
When will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. Can't be everything you wanna be before your time, although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight.
I should have heard a Nutella song.
Yeah. Yes, I should have put a Nutella song in there.
Oh, Nutella. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said Nutella. I thought you said that's the Nutella song. Yeah. I'm like, is that song in a Nutella ad?
No, I love that song. So that's I went with
I still can't believe that he hates the Eagles more than Billy Joel.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise.
Really hate.
Yeah.
My mind. Yeah. More people to hate. Yeah. There's more people in the Eagles than
there is
in Billy
Joel. It's got a lot of hate in his heart, Jason does. Yes, go ahead.
First time I heard this person's voice, she was in a band called the Sugar Cubes, this crazy little sort of post-punk band from Iceland. And she would share the mic with this kind of goofy dude who was kind of, I don't know, he almost kind of was like an Icelandic rapper. And I was like, man, I wonder what she would sound like if she was just the only vocalist, if it was just this crazy little Icelandic pixie named Björk doing all the singing. And then she had a solo album called Debut, and it blew my mind. And her voice is an instrument, and she thinks of it as an instrument. I think she's a musical genius, and she has one of the most distinct voices I've ever heard. So we've got Björk at number four.
You ever heard of
Venus as a Boy? What a tune.
You ever heard of Björk there, Bone?
No. Maybe one day she'll be in your homework, your bone work there, Bone.
Never heard of her.
You've never heard of Björk?
No. I figured
just sheltered existence, existence you lived, son.
Yeah. Well, you guys keep rolling. I'll give you my thoughts at the end.
We're doing our six-pack of our favorite vocalists and Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
Almost put this guy at number one. Mike Patton has one of the most unbelievable voices. I've heard him sing opera. It's amazing. Some people will say Mike Patton has as much of a range as anybody in sort of American modern music history. Lead singer of Faith No More. He's got a bunch of other bands, Mr. Bungle, Tomahawk. I've seen him with many of those bands. Also, Faith No More did an amazing cover of the Commodores, Lionel Richie, Easy Like Sunday Morning. This guy could sing anything, anywhere, anytime. Almost put him at one. Mike Patton.
What if there's no more fun to have? And all I got is what I have. What if I have?
If you want to open the hole.
Little greatest hits compilation.
Yeah. What is it?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I know a little Faith No More. Hey, my three, and this is ironic because we didn't compare notes, but I and it's also in part because the Super Bowl was just Sunday, and in my opinion, she did the greatest national anthem at a Super Bowl. I was actually there at Super Bowl 25, Whitney Houston.
And
Dolly Parton will tell you that, and Whitney Houston made her a lot of money with that song.
Yeah.
But Dolly will say, I couldn't sing that song like Whitney Houston could sing that song. Whitney Houston's voice was like a supernova,
yep.
And she seemed to be pure and just a voice from God. And then she married Bobby Brown, and then the troubles began, and gone too soon.
There's an amazing documentary on her. I think that the troubles actually began a little before that, but it certainly got exacerbated.
Yeah, but Whitney Houston, she's a three.
Number two.
Whether it be Genesis or his solo stuff.
At number two.
I have Phil Collins. I love Phil Collins.
Wow.
He's a two. There isn't a person alive around our age that has not air drummed that drum solo.
I just did.
I will tell you, I saw Genesis live at old RFK Stadium. I saw Phil Collins live at the old Cap Center, and it was the coolest thing. As he's doing In the Air Tonight, and he's walking around, the drums come out of the floor as it's getting to the point. Bone, do you even know he's a drummer? Did you know Phil
That's
Collins?
A no.
Yeah,
That's
he
a
did
negative.
Not know. Like Phil Collins, when I saw Genesis live, the other guys would leave. He didn't take a break the whole night. He'd jam on the drums while the other guys took a break. But the drums came out of the ground, and he sits down just in time and plays the drum solo. So yeah, Phil Collins is my two.
My two is Stevie Wonder. Whether it's him as a boy genius, you know, little Stevie Wonder and Fingertips, just him and the piano, or the unbelievable music that he made on Intervisions or Songs in the Key of Life. I mean, I could go on and on, but I can't think of American music and not think of Stevie Wonder's voice.
Great song.
Yeah. No, he is a musical genius. You don't even need to play the number one thing. I'll just go into it. My number one is Jeff Buckley. Jeff Buckley only recorded one album, Grace. He was working on his second album when he drowned in the Mississippi River. Tremendous loss for true music fans. His dad, Tim Buckley, was a pretty successful folk singer, but Jeff barely met Tim. Tim cast a large shadow over Jeff's life. Jeff has the most amazing voice I've ever heard. I was just listening to Grace Walking the Dogs today and just started crying. Listen to his voice. That is the effect that he can have on you. I would urge anybody who likes good music to please listen to, give it a shot, Grace from Jeff Buckley.
My one, is there any doubt? My dog's name is Bruce. Our first dance is going to be a Springsteen song at my wedding in June. It's Bruce Springsteen.
It's a bit of a mumbler at times, yeah, like Michael Stipe. He's got a little bit of that mumbling thing.
But I love it. I will say this. So
he's like a Joe Strummer. He's not really a singer, but
I heard Bruce Springsteen for the first time, probably at Camp Sky Lamar. I was 11 years old, and it literally changed my life. I immediately fell in love with Bruce Springsteen. I've seen him numerous times live. I will see him numerous times again if he tours again. And yeah, he's an important part of who I am.
There's not really any winner, but the one biggest, I am stunned neither of you guys had Freddie Mercury. He might be number one for me.
You should do a TMI and do a list.
He was on my list and crossed out.
He was considered unbelievable voice.
It's hot. It's hot. Six. It's tough.
Unbelievable.
David Bowie. I'm surprised he didn't make it.
If you want to go old school, like a Elvis or Sinatra,
I could easily thought about him. I would probably go Tony Bennett over Sinatra. I thought about putting a crooner in there.
Yeah. Freddie Mercury, man.
Got votes.
I was shocked that neither of you guys had him.
Hey, you also have a much smaller pool of candidates to call for.
Freddie Mercury
is like, what? Like, anyone, that's still to me, and it's kind of funny that my mind always goes to this. I was at a bar, and it was a karaoke night, and this guy came out from the kitchen and sang Bohemian Rhapsody, and I was like, oh, dude, this guy's got no, like, first off, the nuts that you need
big sack
to sing Bohemian Rhapsody, and he killed it, and I was like, oh my God, that was by far and away the greatest karaoke performance.
All the young dudes coming up next. What do we think of Heston Kerstad this year? We'll tell you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Next year on the Fan.
Yeah, I think this is lining up to be a really good opportunity for him this season, and I think that's something that we've been hoping to do for him. He's second overall pick, great minor league resume despite a ton of adversity in terms of his injuries over the years. And then you look at his major league numbers too, and they're pretty good. So I think we've got a scenario now where he's got opportunity, but we're not going to have to overexpose him. And you know, if there's a tough lefty that day, whether it's him or Cedric or Colton, we can give somebody a break. So I think our Tyler O'Neill signing is something where we were keeping Heston in mind.
That was Mike Elias talking about Heston Kjerstad. Heston Kjerstad hit 4 homers, driven 14 runs, batted 253 a year ago. He was looked like he was just starting to get hot, and then he got hit in the head and was never right again. So what are you expecting from him this year?
Here's what has to happen with Heston Kjerstad. He can't be blocked by Ryan O'Hearn. He needs to be given an opportunity to be facing in the lineup against right-handers all the time until he's proven that he can't handle it. Whether that's in right field, or you know, they keep playing around with Sig's Wall, so maybe he could play left field now, or first base, or DH, or whatever. First, he can't be... That bat has to be given a legitimate shot against right-handed pitching all the time. And then my other thing is, what constitutes a tough lefty?
Yeah.
Like, because they throw that term around like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Anytime a guy has ever gotten anybody out from the left side in the history of his major league career, or maybe even if he did it at a high level at the minors, they hide behind that tough lefty excuse. I think they sprinkle that a little too liberally. And like, I know they got a lot of right-handed bats, but I don't think they're going to have an all right-handed lineup against lefties. Some guys are going to have to be given the opportunity.
You'd love to see if he can handle it or not. Give him the opportunity
to fail before you already start hiding behind tough lefties to bench him.
Well, he's had a ton of bad health luck. And like I said, he looked like things were coming together for him a year ago, and then he took that ball to the head and was never right again. So I think it would start with him, let's knock on whatever this is, staying healthy, and then I think he's got half a shot.
And that run-up that Ken's talking about where he got hit in the head, the 21 games when he got called back up at the end of June, 882 OPS, 3 homers, 12 RBIs, and 55 at-bats.
They've got to find out about him.
Yeah, I want to see
him.
He's
26
like April,
years old now?
April, that guy should be in the lineup just about every day.
It needs to happen. He needs to be given a long run. Now, could the defense play his way out of it? I don't know.
Well,
then just DH him if he's still hitting.
Yeah.
Like I don't care. But like, he needs to be given way more of a run than he has been at this point, and way more of a run than a lot of guys, frankly, have gotten around here.
Now, I'm looking forward to hopefully a healthy start. But yeah, and now that the left field isn't vast anymore, because that was ugly at times, watching him go back on fly balls in that big left field. Now it's a normal left field. Give him half a shot.
Well, I hope they give him more than half a shot.
I mean, in the outfield.
I know what you're saying, but
Yeah, the guy should play just about every day, right? He's, like you said, 26. He's like, sitting him does.
There's no planet exists that he goes back to AAA. I can tell you that. Yeah. That doesn't. The guy's second overall pick was supposed to be a polished college hitter then. Like, no. So he's on this team. And if he's on this team, he can't be sitting on the bench and then you save him against some elite righty that he's supposed to get a clutch hit on in the eighth inning when he's only had five at-bats that week. Yeah. That's what you can't do
That's
to him.
Silly.
But I've seen you do that to a lot of people.
Coming up next, Aditi Kinkabwala. She's our friend from CBS. She knows the AFC North inside and out. We'll talk to her about the Super Bowl and also her decision to vote Josh Allen MVP over Lamar Jackson, even though she had Lamar first-team All-Pro. She joins us next here on The Fan. Super Bowl 59 in the books. It's our perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Talk to our friend Aditi Kinkabwala from CBS Sports. And Aditi, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So what was your main takeaway from the Super Bowl?
Beyond the fact that it was a complete and total beatdown?
Yeah.
It was ugly.
Utter domination?
Yeah, in every way. I mean, really, truly, and Jalen Hurts said it afterwards, was his line that offense scores points or offense wins games, but defense wins championships. That defense was stunningly impressive. The fact that they could bring pressure with just four, didn't have to blitz once. Obviously, Mahomes was off his game. I mean, that was the big takeaway beyond anything else. And the lines. And let me add one more thing.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman has always felt that you build from the line of scrimmage out.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that was an exceptional offensive line and an exceptional defensive line.
Do you have any reservations about the Chiefs moving forward? Or are you more in the camp like I am that they'll reload, they'll go get a left tackle? I think Ronnie Stanley would look good there. And they'll move Tooney back inside and they'll find a run game next year and they'll have Rice and Worthy both ready to go and they'll be pretty damn good again.
Probably, yes, because I tend to agree with you. When you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, then you don't think that they're falling apart.
Well, Aditi, going back a couple days prior to the Super Bowl, NFL honors, and Josh Allen ended up winning MVP. Mm-hmm. You were one of the voters, and you voted Lamar first-team All-Pro at quarterback, but Josh Allen MVP. Why did you do so?
I've already had, I don't know, maybe 10,000 Ravens fans sicked on me when I tried to explain this to Torrey Smith.
No, oh, wow.
Really? Should I really go into that? You know what? This was something that it was, let me say this. It's really, 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 really hard to do justice to each one of these votes if you take them as seriously as I did. And it mattered to me so much that I felt I got it as right as I possibly could. And that included trying to gather and acquire as much information, research as I could beyond just my sense of what I saw or what I felt from the sideline. I ultimately came down on the fact that Lamar Jackson had the most magnificent season at the position of quarterback, and I felt that he played the position of quarterback better than anybody this year. And that included and encompassed all that it means in playing that position. But in terms of most valuable to his team, I thought Josh Allen was just way more valuable to that entire outfit, to that organization, to the tenor and tone of what that offense was able to do, to elevating everybody around him. And that's not to say, you know, I sort of one of the things that frustrated me is when people said, oh, well, Lamar Jackson has Derrick Henry and Josh Allen doesn't have someone like that. And my argument was, well, Lamar Jackson makes Derrick Henry that much better. Because a year ago when we were covering Derrick Henry in Tennessee, people were talking about him being washed. Now, of course, Derrick Henry helps make Lamar Jackson better. It's all, these are puzzle pieces. But in my mind, knowing what the Bills had done in jettisoning Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and having to completely rebuild this idea of how they would play offense, this everybody eats, who Josh Allen is, how he leads, what he means to that team. I thought that he had a spectacular year at the position of quarterback as well. He was second on my All-Pro team, and I just felt that he was a little bit more valuable. And a lot of that is the intangible stuff as well. And I, look, in the guidelines that they give us, we are told to consider any and all things. Some of the other positions, I considered leadership or how they make their teammates better. And I'm certainly not someone that thinks it's only about stats on anything. You know, I'll give you an example. Trey Hendrickson had an incredibly productive year. But I just never, in covering him, I never felt him on the field the way that I did a Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I talked to quite a few offensive coordinators, they said the same exact thing. So it's not only about the statistics. You know, a few years ago, I think T.J. Watt had much better stats, had arguably better or slightly better stats than Aaron Donald. And I remember telling my husband, Aaron Donald will be Defensive Player of the Year. And he was. You have to consider double teams. You have to consider triple teams. You have to consider the amount of attention that an offense has to face, has to devote to a player. There are a lot of factors that go into these things. And, you know, to some degree, that's why they have 50 voters. So we all sort of balance each other, I'd hope.
Did it surprise you at all? Like, this hasn't happened since 87. So clear, you know what I mean? This is not like a normal
phenomenon. No, I mean, I wasn't the only one that went this way, obviously. I think a lot of people felt as how many was it? It was about 10 voters, right?
Nine, I think.
Okay, who put Lamar as their first team All-Pro but voted for Josh Allen as most valuable. And I think a piece of it is how you define most valuable. You know, I ran into Torrey Smith on last Friday night at the commissioner's party. I was like, gosh, thanks for putting me on blast, you know, because of all the Ravens fans that then came after me. And Torrey just disagreed with me that the idea that most valuable means most valuable. He thinks most valuable means best.
Were you surprised at the backlash?
I'll say this. It's not most outstanding player. It's most valuable player. Valuable is different than most outstanding.
How, though? With two guys at the same position and one ends up winning one more game than the other one and the other one statistically eviscerates
him. Value to his team. Value in the shape of his team.
Clearly
you disagree.
I just think it was such a chasm. Like, one guy had a 120 rating against playoff teams and faced twice as many of them as the other guy. And the other, you know, one guy's got a 120 rating, the other one's got a 92 rating. Like, I just think it's not even, like, it wasn't even all that close. You know what I mean? And so if it's like, well, he helped them win more games. Yeah, he helped them win one more game in a horse crap division. I almost cussed. playing a much easier schedule. And if it's like the group around him, like, I mean, they got Rashad Bateman back with his tail between his legs for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, a lot of people thought Andrews was washed at the middle of the season.
I don't think that you're saying anything that I can truly quibble with. And all I can say is we had to turn in our ballots at 5 p.m. on Wednesday. And I'm pretty sure mine went in at like 4:57.
Yeah.
Like, I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And maybe if on the one hand, you have to stand on what your vote is, but we weren't told that these were all going to be public. And it sort of makes it a little bit harder when you know fans take it so, so personally and feel so strongly about it.
Well, at least
I think until you're in those shoes and you have to cast that ballot, and it's not as if they give you 10 things to consider and then ask you to rate those 10 things 1 through 5, which would be subjective in and of itself. You know, at the end of the day, we all have to sit here to some degree, and being around the teams, being in the locker rooms, talking to the head coaches, considering the strength of personality of the head coaches, considering the personality of an organization before that player and since that player, they're all factors, and everybody considers each of those factors to a different degree. I mean, if Lamar Jackson were MVP, I would not be surprised and I would be extremely happy. You know, it's just, it was really, really hard.
Is there any part of you that thinks that there was a subconscious thing going on where it's like, man, 3 in the first 5 years and, You know what I mean? Back to back, and so few people did that, and it's almost
like not having one.
Right, Josh never won. Like almost a subconscious Lamar's pass worked against him. And look, last year, like I think you could have made an argument last year that Dak Prescott had a better season than Lamar Jackson. I feel like that might be, for me personally, that's more of a standard I could buy than Josh Allen having a better year than Lamar this year. I don't know. You know better. You voted. Is there any chance that subconsciously that was at play with some people?
You know what I would tell you is that it certainly was not for me. And in fact, I had an argument with a member of my crew because, again, I think we even like talked about this on one of our game broadcasts where my play-by-play announcer, Spiro Didius, actually said, we can tell you Didius's been wrestling with this because it was really causing me stress. Like, genuinely, honestly, it matters to me that much. It really was causing me stress. I feel like my blood pressure is elevated right now just talking about it.
We don't want to do that.
At one point, a member of my crew said, well, come on, how can you give him a third MVP when he hasn't won a playoff game? And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not a lifetime achievement award. This is about this season and this season alone. And so I know for me, there was none of this, but we have to balance the scales and Josh deserves a turn too. Not for me, there wasn't, but at least I can tell you that someone close to me who is very, very involved in the coverage of the NFL, that was a thought that entered his mind. So I can't say.
Oh, I think it entered. I think it definitely entered some people's mind. Like Jim Miller. Yeah, I like Jim Miller. Good dude. I love Pat Kerwin.
Lamar be Forrest?
Yeah.
Come on. Right? Like, I mean, some of this like seemed like to be twisting ourselves into too many knots to prevent a certain outcome from possibly happening. That's how it looked to me
but
from
again,
afar.
You know what I'll tell you? I think that there's a lot. It's so easy to say, how can he be fourth? But I really feel like if you're quibbling with a vote, you could ask the voter. Why? Now that it's all out there, ask. You know, the local radio in Pittsburgh mocked me. Somebody here in Pittsburgh absolutely mocked me because on my assistant coach of the year, in my fifth spot, I put Alex Van Pelt, who was the Patriots offensive coordinator. And this guy goes on the radio and says, was that a typo? What's wrong with her? What, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I messaged him and I said, look, I covered the Patriots a bunch this year. That roster was absolutely completely bereft of talent.
Yeah.
There was maybe one offensive lineman that could have been a starter on any other offensive line. There was no wide receiver that was better than a wide receiver three on any team. There was no run game to speak of. There was a decent tight end. But despite all of that, a rookie quarterback, Drake May, got better every single week. His footwork was completely overhauled by Alex Van Pelt. Alex Van Pelt taught him how to run play action, taught him how to fake a handoff, taught him how to be under center, taught him how to get through a fourth progression as a rookie with all of that chaos around him, with about as crappy of a team around him as there was in the National Football League. I know the guy was getting fired, but did get fired.
Yeah.
But frankly, to me, I thought that was an outstanding coaching job.
Aditi, we always appreciate you. And we live in a society where they have different people like chocolate, people like vanilla, people like Rocky Road, people like rum raisin.
It makes the world go around.
Can you tell your listeners, are they going to be sicked on me again? Can I just clarify for them, okay? I am not, yes, I live in the city of Pittsburgh. I am not a fan of any one team. I am a fan of great people. I am an enormous fan of Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is an absolutely sensational young man. I love being around him. I love watching him. This is not in any way anything personal. So please.
No,
please,
absolutely.
Please
no, I definitely
that. I
cared
a lot.
No.
No, Aditi, you're the best. And we appreciate you being so candid about it. And I can tell it was a very hard decision. No, we appreciate your time, though, as always.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Aditi. Didi Kinkabwala, CBS, where you can find her. Coming up next, Brandon Hyde. Is he on the hot seat? Should he be on the hot seat? We'll discuss next. Orioles pitchers and catchers report on Thursday. They're coming off back-to-back 90-win seasons. One of those 100 wins. They won a division. They've been in the postseason 2 years in a row. Have not won a playoff game. So with all that in mind, Brandon Hyde, seat a little hot?
I mean, I think it should be hot for him and the GM. But Look, the GM's got an in with the owner. The GM's around the owner all the time. The GM's talking to the owner during games. The GM's up in the owner's suite when he's not sitting in the seats, maybe with the owner too. And that's just not the life of a manager. The manager's down there with the players. He's in the locker room. He's in the dugout. He doesn't have the ability to sort of defend himself or spin things or play the politics game the way, you know, people in marketing or baseball operations can. And the first guy to go when rebuilds don't get to the level that people start thinking they should get to is the manager. And they're very much hired to be starters. That's why they get them young and cheap, and they're rah-rah guys, and they hype everybody up, and they can relate to these prospects. But then they reach a point where they look for a different skill set. And the GM generally gets multiple hires for a manager before he has to deal with the direct heat from the owner. And that's probably how I think it'll play out here if things don't go up to expectations. I think the GM is more at fault, blame, or deserve of praise for anything that happens here because he put the entire thing together, including that coaching staff. Like, do I think that Brandon Hyde wanted Freddie Gonzalez out of here and replaced with a guy who's never done anything other than be a backup catcher in his career? No, I don't. Do I think he made that decision? Hell no. Do I think it'll work against him? Quite possibly, because he lost a guy who knew what it was like to be a manager and got him replaced from a dude who retired, spent a year as a fan, and now is in the job. Like, do I think he wanted him to go get real ball players at the trade deadline last year? I think he did. Did they do it? No. Do I think he wants a team with all kids and no leadership? No. Is that what they stuck him with? Yeah. And he'll be the one who walks the plank for it.
Yeah, and is Brandon Hyde blameless with all of this? No, he has his shortcomings as anyone, but he's not putting together the roster, like you're saying, Jason.
And you guys know me. I'm no big Hyde defender. No. But this is he's being set up to be the first dude to get the pink slip.
IA 105.7 The Fan is how you can vote on this poll. Every poll, over 200 votes in, another year removed from Orioles rebuild, and expectations continue to mount. Team has yet to show a pulse in the postseason and fell apart in the second half last year. So we asked Birdland, should anyone be on the hot seat for 2025? 33.2% both are on the hot seat. 31.2% neither is on the hot seat. 27.1% Hyde is. 8.5% Elias is.
I feel like Hyde shouldn't be, but he is. Yeah. Like he's been given a bag of groceries that I don't think that's what he asked for, but he's not part of picking the groceries. Hey, we'll continue talking Orioles baseball. Matt Wyrick covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Pitchers and Catchers Report Thursday. Get his thoughts on this roster next here on The Fan.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.